Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right. You're rolling with Jason and John, 92.9 FM ESPN on another gray, rainy day. There's a lot to get to today. There's no question about it, and I'm happy to do that, joined by my partner, John Martin, joined by our executive producer, Brad Carson, also program director extraordinaire here at 92.9 FM ESPN. I'm going to need both of them today to cover these big stories, because you had Cal being introduced at Arkansas, and that was something to see.
Coach Cal?
Yep. There were some lines dropped that are certainly worth mentioning, and I think Arkansas is on its way, probably to a Final Four at some point under Cal. That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah.
We have another big one, and the fact that it appears Scott Drew will be remaining at Baylor. I think John and I, as we broke down the picture yesterday, looks like we nailed it.
Man, that was a hell of a call. That was like Babe Ruth at the plate, you know, because nobody was saying that back then.
You're right. And then one more big story popped this morning. OJ. John is the one that broke the news to me. Dead at 76, O.J. Simpson losing his battle to cancer. And so we've got some whoppers today. I was listening to Jeff this morning and Chris Harrington reminisce on where they were, you know, during the chase back in 94. We were all watching. The whole country felt like it was watching. Right? And then the verdict, which I believe came down in 95. Remember the whole if it doesn't fit, you must acquit, John.
Yeah.
I know John was locked into the trial at 4 years old.
Glove on the hand.
Well, what you found, critical mistake by the prosecution.
Why are we doing this?
And you found out Darden, right, his ego got the best. They shouldn't. That was never part of the plan. Darden jumps, tries it. It ends up costing because that visual.
Yep.
Right, huge reason why you.
That was,
you know, they ended up losing that trial. And so anyway, yes, I mean, you talk about a life. I mean, OJ, football star, TV and film star. He was Nordberg in The Naked Guns, right? Murderer. He was that. Robber. Remember when he tried to get his stuff in Vegas?
Oh, the Vegas thing. Oh,
what he ended up going to prison for?
That was nuts.
Right?
Yes.
And then at the end, weirdly, I mean, I heard Jeffrey talking about this morning and John's talking about this weird Twitter follow,
so
where you would, people were just following his life now.
Yes.
You know, from the golf course and wherever else he was making Super Bowl predictions. Everything. I mean, this dude did it all, literally. And, what a story. A conflicted story. Mm-hmm. There's no question about it. Hello, John.
Yeah, a lot to get to today on the show. I feel as though I have been picked up and transported back to 2009. When John Calipari left Memphis and the Memphis search was bungled and nobody wanted to do it. And I feel like I am reliving that today, 15 years later, because nobody seems to want the Kentucky job, at least the top-tier candidates, which I was told and have always been told by Kentucky fans that they would be able to get anybody that they wanted. It is, after all, Kentucky. We are learning that that is, in fact, as Maury Povich would say, the lie detector test determined that was a lie. Mm. That was a lie, because Scott Drew has said no. He's staying at Baylor, and we talked about it yesterday. You just would not put that picture out in that moment in Waco if you intended to leave, if you really felt like it was your calling to go. You just wouldn't do it. And ultimately, he doesn't do it, and there's a lot of reasons, and we'll get into all of that today here on the show. 11:25, Drew Hill's going to join us. We'll talk to him about the Grizzlies. I believe that was his last game story of the season last night. So congrats to him not having to make sense of that crap for the rest of the spring.
Well, you had Laravia rising like a phoenix from the ashes.
Yes.
There was one last storyline for Drew.
Yes, and then Peter Edmiston posted all this April performances over the years.
Yeah.
Scala Bissier, TJ Leaf, John Conchar had a trippy dubby.
Scala had a big one?
Oh, he had a huge one, yeah. So basically the point is, if it lasts more than 4 hours, call your doctor
y'all
on Jake Laravia.
Y'all let that man celebrate his go-off game.
Yes. He had some March games that,
The truth is, Laravia's been playing well.
I feel like he probably has to have a spot.
Now, he needed to play well.
Yes, he did.
He needed to.
But he's had big games.
Yes, he has. He's only like $3 million next year.
Exactly. So
that's the thing on him.
I think they'll keep him, is my guess. But we shall see. We'll talk to Drew Hill about all that at 11:25. Then at 1:25, Mark Giannotto is going to join us. And we'll talk to him about the Cal search and Kentucky and Memphis basketball. You know, it has been kind of quiet on the Memphis basketball front, has it not, mate? I mean, they do.
Well, I mean, I get, they're working, though.
They are, of course, working. But, you can't get, happy.
I mean, you did this a week ago, and then Haggerty Danger popped. So, what's happening.
I remember, every week I would talk to Giannotto. We'd have him in here, and it would be, May and June. I say, you getting? And then he's like, no, I'm not going to get worried. And then, in July and August and September and October and November and December, Penny was still adding players. Yeah. So,
frankly, it's probably a good start. The thing you got a good start on old boy Cat.
But I think we would all if you could, submit your roster, ideally.
Right. I mean, he ain't getting all, 13 of them.
But get eight.
Now.
I would say get eight. Get the bulk of it anyway.
That'd be nice.
We don't really have time to argue about that. It is what it is, and it's not going to change. And so we'll talk to Mark Giannotto about all of that at 1:25. But the news of the day, Scott Drew, Baylor coach, now 2-for-2 in his career in leveraging jobs that John Calipari leaves open. Not taking the Kentucky job. That news was reported, I believe, first by CBS Sports this morning, and I believe he's just put out a statement, Scott Drew did, and it reads as follows. In our program, we strive to put Jesus first, then others, then ourselves. We truly believe God has called my family and I to continue our work here at Baylor. Surrounded by the best people and community anyone could be blessed to have, we are grateful for the support of Mac Rhodes, President Livingstone, and the entire Baylor family. And we look forward to working together to bring more championships to Waco. Hashtag joy. So you have Cal introduced yesterday.
Yes.
Which is his own sort of discussion piece. And then you have Baylor coach Scott Drew again spurning the school that John Calipari leaves for the second time in 15 years and remaining at Baylor. And so now Kentucky will go. First of all, do you take a little bit at least joy in Kentucky slipping on the banana peel?
A little bit.
It's kind of fun.
Yeah. Watch them come down a peg.
Oh, no doubt.
Barnhart's squirming right now. I mean, he has to be. And you take a little bit of joy in it. I'm not going to sit up here and tell you that I'm, reveling in it or anything like that. Because I think you and I sort of saw the writing on the wall yesterday. Why would Scott Drew put that picture out if he's going to, turn around and take the Kentucky job, a picture of him in Waco with one of their boosters, talking how much he loved it. I mean, it just seemed like the kind of guy that we know Scott Drew to be. It just, at that point, it seemed like writing was on the wall. And so, no, not shocked that we're here. Like I said, Kentucky didn't need to miss, though. And if ultimately you were going to, you needed to know that early. Because, again, what it looks like optically is you didn't get your guy and you come on down. And it's going to be very hard to pull off what Arkansas did after missing on their first two and hitting the home run that they did there on Cal. It's going to be very hard to pull that off. At this point, whether it's maybe Billy Donovan, but other than that, it's going to look like a second or third option. Cal was that, but it doesn't look like it because right. You end up with somebody that you would have picked first.
Exactly.
But for Kentucky, it's gonna unless it's Billy Donovan coming down from the NBA, to me, it's going to look like, okay, you had to get a second or third tier option here.
Oh,
for
yeah.
You. And that's not a good look for them. And it's particularly at a time, and Cal's made it so public, where he's saying, look, yeah, I wasn't winning there at the end the way we needed to. What was it, three straight years where you don't get to the second weekend. But look at our facilities. I've been begging you. They're 15 years old. We haven't done anything with them. Right? Cal had made that public. And for the most part, a lot of people, because Cal wasn't winning to up to expectations, had kind of taken Barnhart's side on that. Remember, he did the whole, we're a basketball school, and it got the thing, you got the football coach involved and everything else. But his point on that was, I need more right now. We're looking old over here. Yeah, our facilities are nice, but they're 15 years old. And so that's the issue now for Kentucky. You miss on Scott Drew. You've got facilities that are old at Cal's made public. You're looking second tier now. You're not looking like the blue blood, or as everybody's gone on to say this,
absolutely,
the bluest of blue bloods. You ain't
absolutely
looking like it this week.
Absolutely.
So
right.
It's a hit for Mitch.
It
truly is.
It is. And I think I truly believe
you got
this.
Played by Scott Drew.
I think a lot of times, the fan base piece of it is overblown. But I do think, I don't know if you saw the story that Matt Jones from Kentucky Sports Radio posted on his Twitter.
Didn't see his. It was an athletic story.
Yeah.
I think it was Kyle.
That a person reportedly called the Mexican restaurant that Scott Drew posted that picture from.
Yeah.
And asked the waitress to relay a message to Scott as he was sitting across from the booster.
This is a real story?
That's what it was reported. Okay. Who knows if it actually happened or not, but it was reported by
okay.
Matt Jones.
Okay.
And that basically, it wasn't like a "Hey, F you." It was like a "Hey, we want you at Kentucky." But as innocuous and innocent as that may sound, I could see where his family catches wind of that and is like, "No way. No way. These people are crazy. These people live and die with this stuff, right?" Like, it's too intense.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they have nothing better to do. And so why would we, happy, comfortable,
yeah,
love our community? Our community loves us.
Mm-hmm.
We can lose in the second round, and it's cool. We're Teflon here because we brought a title to Baylor. We can worship together. We got the church thing going. Why would we want to leave this with the kids in high school, with the kids in school, with the daughter in school at Baylor? Why would we want to leave that to go into a place where they're insane, where they're maniacs, for a little bit more money? For what? No way. And so I think this is a case, as it relates to Scott Drew, where it worked against him.
If you had known the history of things, it's what we had brought up, John, and you just said it took you back to 09. Like Scott Drew didn't want to follow Cal here. And I realize it's different situations, but it goes back to the old rule, you didn't want to follow the man. My whole point is you needed to do your homework beforehand and know that. Needed to know how embedded, Scott Drew and his family and how embedded they were in Baylor, and that you were probably going to miss on this and go a different direction. Otherwise, optically, you're going to look like you lost. That's where they're sitting right now. I'll be interested to see what they do. Bruce Pearl will take that job and make it.
No doubt.
He will not care that he's second or third pick here. He will treat it as if he's the first. If you're not getting Billy Donovan, I don't know why you're not already calling Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, I mean, I did.
At least he's been in that championship game. You don't have the title, but you have what he's done at Auburn, the program he's built, and the way he will sell it, the way he will sell Kentucky, a lot like Cal, in some other ways, maybe even a little bit more, hyperbolic with it in terms of the extremes that he'll go to sell his program. I mean, it should have done it from the jump. I told you I'd have gone Pearl before Drew. Again, knowing what we know about Scott Drew, knowing how comfortable he was down there 21 seasons, just turned down Louisville. I know you think, well, we're not Louisville. We're bluest of the blue blood, but you're sitting in the same spot they were.
Right. So I think that's
looking like you couldn't get your guy.
Exactly.
That ain't good for recruiting either.
I will say this. Goodman did say today on a show he did with Rob Doster that there's now a 25% chance, he thinks, up from 10%, that Billy would take it. Now,
again,
I don't know why the increase, but
I told you, I know we had Nick Friedell who talks about, and he's right, Billy's got security with the Bulls, but That did not sound like a man who wouldn't take a call the other day when he said, I haven't been contacted.
Right.
You know, yeah, he said he loves coaching the NBA. Sounded like a guy who would take the call. Again, I would try that because I'm trying. I know what Billy Donovan can do. There is the question, though, John, you know, in this new era. And if you know, at least from Cal's side, you know, the NIL at Kentucky was up to Cal to generate. Okay? And so that's the key for them going forward. So if Billy Donovan's going to come in and you're going to tell him, who's never lived in this NIL world, that you got to go to generate it on your own, that ain't going to work. Okay? So, I mean, that's what, at least for what Cal's saying, that's what they were. You know, that's why they got Tyson. They got $5 to $7 million now for Cal sitting there. It's what he didn't have at Kentucky. His words that Barnhart made him go do it on his own, you know, as opposed to having that sort of collective whatever, having it all list. If you don't have that for Donovan, he's out there swimming in these NIL waters. If he doesn't have the NIL that, you know, that Cal's getting in Arkansas, he going to really be effective? That said, optically, again, he's the only guy, it feels like to me, John, that doesn't look like a step back. You know, from your original. At this point, maybe it doesn't matter. You just need to get the best coach.
Well, I definitely think
Bruce Pearl is probably a guy. We know he can operate in the NIL waters. We know he knows this transfer portal stuff. We know he can sell the program. He checks more boxes to me than Billy Donovan, who still does have the question of, okay, well, what you going to look like in this world?
Right.
Where it's not just your name and your brand that's getting the kids.
Yeah, well.
Right. What you know.
This is the crazy piece of it. Bruce Pearl is not better than Cal. So, in fact, he's worse. He's never won a championship. He hasn't been to, you know, five Final Fours.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't. Now, he hasn't been at a job quite like Kentucky, in fairness to him. But, I mean, Cal was even before Kentucky, Cal was more accomplished than Bruce has been at this stage at similar jobs, Tennessee and Auburn, Memphis, UMass, probably worse jobs. Right, he created UMass. He revitalized and you know, resuscitated Memphis. And so I think that's the part where if it does fall to Pearl, and it might, you know, this is like self reflection for Kentucky. Like y'all thought this is what y'all thought y'all could get X, Y, and Z, but you're just going to wind up with a coach that's actually worse than the one you ran out.
Why didn't I jump on this when you told me he had the same odds as Penny Hardaway to get the job?
Man, I don't know how much you could have got on it, but you could have probably got 100 on it, $50 on it, 25-1. That'd been what do you call it? A tank of gas?
Yeah.
What's that? If you could get $100 on 25, and it was from a site, again, it was Bet Online. They take bets. It's not a fake. You know, sometimes we get these emails that's fake. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't take bets. This takes bets. So let's say you could have gotten $25 on it. 25 times 25. What's that?
$6.25.
There you go.
A few tanks of gas.
You could have gotten, I mean, that would have been a nice.
Because I was on it, Brad. I was on Pearl.
Would you have bet him that day? You would have bet Pearl as on a long shot.
I couldn't believe he was such a long shot. I told you that day.
Let me see if they have an update.
Again, I had to predict that they're going to miss on guys and everything else before it gets down there. That's a good hire if you bring him in. It just made too much sense for him to be that long a shot. So
you could see a world, though, where, like Sky Drew says, no. You know, like it never felt like, oh, he has to take that job.
Dude, all you Vegas dudes said Scott Drew was the heavy favorite and was going to.
I don't think I would have made him the favorite. I think I would have probably.
Oh, stud. Yeah, stop.
Okay, if I made him the favorite, it would have been like a, you know, 4-1 or something like that. It wouldn't have been like he was even money. I would have probably made like Bruce Pearl, like, you know, 7-1, you know, Penny minus 120. You know what I'm saying? I'd probably.
See, Bruce will go into Lexington. And he will do almost exactly what Cal did in Fayetteville yesterday. He'll talk about the games he's been in there. He knows the history. Mm-hmm. They'll be eating out of his hand by the time it's done, and it won't sting as much that they didn't get their first pick and everything else, because you will get wrapped up in him. Billy doesn't have that. I think that's important with that Kentucky brand. You know, that selling of the program, making those fans feel like, the man, I'm here to work for you and everything else, and that you know their history and respect it. That's what Bruce is going to be better at than Billy Donovan. But it'd be interesting to see.
Yeah, but I think this is a humbling moment for that fan base.
It has to be. It has to be a little bit.
That, like, wow, the fact that we act like jackasses all the time has maybe cost us a shot at, you know.
But it doesn't have to be the Louisville situation where you get down to what's my guy, Pat Kelsey or whatever my guy is.
It won't be that bad.
And it should not. It bet not get that bad.
Because at the end, Bruce Pearl will say yes. And so you'll have a good coach in there. But it's like, you, what's the point of trading out Cal for Pearl? Like, what's the point of that? You know, and now, by the way, you got Cal in your same league, motivated. You've woke his ass up.
Well, Mitch was calling his bluff, basically. He thought he had the fan base on his side and everything else.
No, there's no doubt about that.
I'm not
going
to build you new facilities because you haven't been winning. You haven't done what you're supposed to do here. When was your last Final Four? Just like you running around here reminding us all in Memphis, that's what Mitch was doing with Cal. And it comes back to bite you. And so, you end up, to your point, to what you just said, you're going to end up trading it out for a guy who hasn't done nearly as much. You'd have been, you'd probably been better off just telling Cal, you know what, we're going to work together, we're going to get those facilities for you.
Yeah, it's just crazy to me.
Because one way or the other, you wouldn't need to update. They're 15 years old. And now you hear the word is, like we said, that, oh, from Kyle Tucker and others, that the word is Kentucky's about to start on their facilities. You wait until after. It's kinda Cal had been telling you for a while now. It's funny, yeah. I mean, they must feel a little bit like we did.
Now, if they get Billy Donovan, then they will look smart.
To me, it's the only one.
Yeah.
So you have to throw everything at
but
Billy.
I'm just like, why would he do that?
College basketball is so different from when he was winning his titles. Remember how he did it, too. He did it with guys who stayed, right? Rosters who stayed. Those Joakim Noah teams, those Horford teams, those guys were all together. Like, that's not the nature of things now. Look at what Hurley had to do. I mean, he had a couple of pieces left, and Tristan Newton's a two-time MVP, but he had to replace a ton, losing guys to the NBA. He's going to have to do that again. That's the nature of college basketball now with NIL and the transfer portal. Billy doesn't know that world.
Exactly.
Now, he knows the players.
He does.
I didn't tell you. I mean, once quoted Billy Donovan in a story about Norton Hurd. You know, I mean, and those are going to be the kind of guys he's got to know.
Yes.
He's got those relationships.
Yes.
I mean, again, Norton Hurd, you might laugh. Norton Hurd, one of those 100 most influential in college basketball.
Oh, yeah.
That Billy Donovan would have to be ringing again trying to get guys. Does he want to go back into that? Because it's a lot different now. You know, back then, you know, it was all about, hey, I'm Billy Donovan. I'm at Florida. We've won championships. Come on down to my school. You'll be a part of another great recruiting class. Bro, now, how much are you paying me? What's my... He's never been asked those questions.
Absolutely.
And but so, it's again, so much... you add it to the security that he's got. He can keep losing his Bulls coach, it feels like. I mean, we don't care up there, apparently. Yeah, man, I don't know if he's ready for that. I don't know if you'd probably be biting off more than you'd want to chew. More than you'd want to chew.
Yeah.
Because it's a different world than when he left.
I agree. So I just don't think...
So go call Bruce Pearl. Because he hadn't put out any statements.
Well, because
ready, baby.
The Bulls have a week left in the season, right? Because they have to play in tournament, so they'll have a week left.
See, that's the thing about Billy. You got to wait. You got to wait a little bit.
But don't you think you'd have some indication, right? You're not going to wait if you don't truly.
But this stinks for Kentucky having it open that long after you just missed on Scott Drew not being able to name your guy.
Yeah.
You almost need to. I mean, there's some impetus to move off and move on and get this guy named.
Yeah.
Arkansas over here having the presser. They're over there having a freaking party.
No question.
Talking about what they're going to do to us.
Yeah, but, I mean, it's already gotten
embarrassing.
That's what
I'm saying. Mitch, he's got to be squirming because you might want Billy. You got to wait on Billy. Well, hell, Bruce might be the best man for the job. Should I call him now? What do I do? You know, he's got to be squirming now.
And guess what? It's going to cost Kentucky more probably because of their desperation to hire somebody.
They'd be dumb if they didn't charge him.
Yeah.
Charge this Kentucky and push it up. Push up the price on them.
They're going to end up paying somebody. They're going to probably end up, unless it's Pearl, right? Because Pearl would crawl over broken glass. But if it's Billy Donovan, you're going to have to pay that dude probably $10 million a year.
Well, that was Brad's figure. He might end up being right.
I mean, that's what you, even if he would take it for less than that, you say, I'll come for 10. You say, I'll come for 10 because you know Kentucky's in such a bind right now that Scott Drew has said no, or you charge them for that desperation. You know what I mean? That's that desperation tax, that PR tax. So. Yeah, man, it's a.
Did you watch Cal yesterday?
I saw some snippets.
You say he wouldn't call the Hogs.
I did see that.
That was very uncomfortable.
Yeah, that concerned me. That concerned me.
Oh, he'll
bit.
Learn. He just wasn't ready.
Right.
He knows he has to. You can't be the coach that doesn't do it.
It did feel
that's part of them
really,
accepting you
really
and everything.
Weird.
Oh, it was. He just wasn't ready. You could
right,
tell.
Right. He's nice.
He's like, Cal, come on back, coach.
He needs some time.
I need to go talk to these other coaches and go say hi to the baseball coach.
Right. Right.
He just hasn't practiced it.
That's right.
This was a whirlwind 3 days for him, as he told you.
That's right.
And he wasn't ready to do it. He knows he's got to, though. You will not be fully embraced call the Hogs as one of their head coaches.
I mean, again, Tubby did the Texas Tech guns here.
That was way worse. As you tweeted, that was way worse.
So, and I think he caught himself, but...
Tubby also failed at madness on a motorcycle. I mean, he's had some moments.
He has. He has had...
I shouldn't pick on him, but he's...
But that was Texas Tech, right?
The motorcycle?
Yeah, I think that was a Texas Tech.
Yeah, I think it was.
Well, hello there.
But it was a Texas Tech madness.
But we never quite forgave him for that. And somehow Memphis hired him after that. You know, I mean, it was just a tough one. Tough one altogether.
It's tough when a bike falls on you.
It is.
At that age. He was fantastic. Jeff's right. I was listening to Jeff. It was almost like I could hear Jeff falling in love again with Cal.
He's let himself do it.
He did. He watched. He said, I could tell. He watched the whole thing, it sounded like. I did too. I did. He's so good at that part.
I became enamored watching him last night. I know that sounds bizarre. There is something intoxicating about that whole scene up in Fayetteville because they got nothing else.
He was talking about when they threw him out in a game in Arkansas, a game that
his last game there, they tossed him.
Yeah, and how they were going crazy in there that day that he had gotten thrown out.
He's so good at that.
But made a point to mention that Kenny Payne still won that game. You know, stepped up there and beat Arkansas in that game. But no, he had some good lines, man. I guess my man Todd Day was in the crowd.
Yeah, Todd Day was in the building.
Yes, he was.
Corey Beck, bunch of former Hogs. Telling you,
that's awesome,
man.
They're about to take off, John. Get ready. Final four is coming.
I agree. I think it's gonna be fun. I think it's gonna be a fun time. And you know, once he settles in,
stay away from Memphis, Cal.
He said he met with the team. There is no team, so that was great. Is there really nobody that, like, there's
no... Yeah, it was like three dudes, and one of them's a walk-on, and they were just hanging around the building. He was basically telling them deuces.
You hated
when Dion did it. When Cal does it, it's funny.
I mean, there's two guys, right?
It was like two dudes and a walk-on,
I think. Both in the portal.
Yeah, I assume.
He basically told them, y'all are gone. Because, hello, there's no team.
Exactly.
So that lets you know where he's at.
Exactly. All right, we'll come back, talk to Drew Hill, get his thoughts on the Kentucky search. GG Jackson playing the drums. I know leading the worship.
Very talented young man.
Maybe we can get some of that from you. Do you play any instruments?
I do not.
Okay,
not anymore.
So GG just running laps around you just from a praise.
Remember, I was a singer, John. Some of us had other talents.
Right.
Yes.
GG's out there on the drum. So we'll talk to Drew Hill about his instrument abilities and the Grizzlies as
marriage.
Mercifully wrap this season up. Jason and John, how are you trying to...
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink... what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
ESPN. Drew Hill covers the Memphis Grizzlies for a little while longer this year. And then it'll be draft and free agency time. Joins us every single Thursday. He has a big weekend coming up. Joins us now. Hello, Mr. Hill. How are we doing?
We're great. How about you?
Things are good. Do you feel any sense of nervousness, not about your impending nuptials, but your coach in Tuscaloosa? Do you feel safe, given that Kentucky swung and missed on Scott Drew, or are you a little anxious still?
I guess maybe I could be a little anxious still, but the fact that that moved so quickly makes me feel better about it. I do think that, you know, like, we've seen this happen before, right? Like, Nick Saban said he was not going to the Dolphins, and he went to the Dolphins. Like, so it's happened before. But it's my understanding that Kentucky already kicked tires on that, right? And got to know. So you would hope that that's official and done. And I don't know where they turn now. I mean, it gets difficult now. I mean, I think you got to be all in on Billy Donovan, but you may have to wait on that. And that obviously is not a good position to be in.
You think Bruce Pearl's a good fit if they end up getting to him?
I actually do. Because I feel like he's the type of personality that would fit at a job like that.
So agree.
But how is that going to be received? I mean, he was a longtime rival of that school. What I like about Bruce Pearl is that he brings players back, right? Like, he has tons of roster continuity every single year. I think that would play well at a place like Kentucky. I don't, again, though, I'm just not sure that they're going to get to him on the list. Like, I mean, if you're polling that fan base, I would be willing to guess that most of those fans would rather have Billy Donovan and Rick Pitino. So if you move down the list and you end up with Bruce Pearl, I think that's a little bit, would be a little bit of a disappointment, but I do think he's a very good basketball coach and would do well there.
No, I agree with that, but that feels lateral at best to run Cal out of Lexington and just end up with Bruce Pearl. Like, what was this all about? I think Bruce Pearl is probably a slight downgrade.
I was going to say, that ain't lateral. That's it's back.
It's
earlier.
So, like, is this must be humbling for Kentucky. Like, they're going to get a new coach, but it's like you would have just been fine with Cal. It would have probably been a slightly better. If it's Donovan, different. But if it's Bruce Pearl, after you swing and miss on Drew, you swing and miss on Hurley, you swing and miss on Donovan, not only do you get humiliated in the process, but you also wind up with a slightly worse coach.
Well, I would look at it this way. Like, it was time for Cal to move on. It was probably past time for Cal to move on. So I think if they were to move laterally, people would just be excited about a fresh start still. It's reached that stage. And as great as Cal was at Kentucky, especially in the early years, like, no coach is bigger than that program. Like, that's just the truth. Like, that program has won with all kinds of coaches, right? No coach is bigger than the program. Like, at Duke, like, at its heyday, like, with Coach K, like, Coach K was bigger than Duke. I wouldn't say the same about Kentucky. So I think whoever goes there is going to be set up for immediate success, right? Like, they just have so many resources. They have an insane fan base, right? Like, they take over everywhere they go. Like, whoever takes that job is going to be set up for success. So even if right now you're looking at it as like, oh, that would be a lateral move if they got Bruce Pearl, I think Bruce Pearl would be more successful at Kentucky than he is at Auburn, or he was at Tennessee. Like, I just think that there's a power to coaching out of blue blood programs, and Kentucky is probably the best program of all time. So, I feel like that may be the case, but whoever takes that job is instantly going to have a chance to win just because it's Kentucky. Like, you do have to take that into consideration.
Yeah. All right, Grizzlies take the loss last night in Cleveland. You wrote about it, and you wrote about in Jake LaRavia, who did. He absolutely shined last night, and it's continued a trend of him playing well, but this was obviously a breakout game for how much. I mean, it's the question: how much can it help him? Whether it's for here and being a part of this team next season, or for somewhere else, this has got to be a good development for Jake LaRavia.
Yeah, it's a good development. I wouldn't say that it shores anything up, right? Like, nothing has been. I don't think Jake has put his stamp on, like, I definitely belong on the roster in the future, but I don't think anybody on that wing position has. So, in the end, it's just going to come down to the choices of the front office, what they want to do, because nobody, besides Vince Williams, right, nobody really put their stamp on it and said, look, I'm here to stay and here to stay for the future. So, has it been enough? I don't know. I do think that he's played well at the end of the season. I should give him credit because I've been one of the doubters, right? And what I like, some of the things I like, and I wrote about this today, is like, all right, now he's played in 20 of the last 22 games, or 22 of the last 24, I believe, which is good because we haven't seen him on a stretch that long since the very start of his rookie year. Well, at the very start of his rookie year, he wasn't shooting. Like, he had fewer opportunities, sure, but he took less than five shots in a whole bunch of those games, right?
Yep.
And so now you're starting to see the confidence come up where he is not afraid to shoot it. The shots are also different now. Like, close to 75% of his shots early in his career were three-pointers. I think his first season it was 73% were from the three-point line. And that is where you want him to shoot because he's a three-point shooter, but you want him to be able to do more than that, right? And so now, as of late, that number has gone down. He's taking more shots at the rim. Now, he hasn't been efficient in the rim. He hasn't been efficient in the mid-range at all, but he is getting fouled. He's getting fouled at one of the highest rates on the team, which is a big plus. And offensive rebounding, he's only Bismack Biyombo, Jordan Goodwin, and one other, it's escaping me, have rebounded at a higher rate on the offensive end than Jake LaRavia this season. So that's obviously a big plus, too. Because you can't really look at this when you're trying to dissect what Jake has done. You can't really look at this as like his stats are up from last year because the situation is so differently. Like, you almost have to look at this from like a percentage based thing. Like, what percentage of the misses are you grabbing? What percentage of of the other team's misses are you grabbing? Where are your shots coming from? Are you making the shots that you're going to be getting, you know, in games when the team is healthy? Like, that's what I love about Gigi. Like, Gigi is awesome on the corner threes, and he's pretty good at the rim. And the other stuff, like the mid-range stuff, the create-for-yourself stuff, it hasn't been very good, but that's fine. Because guess what? When everybody's healthy, he's going to stand to benefit a ton. With Jake, I think, you know, you have a little bit of the same, but it's not quite to the same level as Gigi. So you're searching for those players that you think are going to fit in the long term. And I like what Jake has done at the end of the year. I like that he's been able to stay healthy. Has it been enough to, like, ensure that he's worth a spot? I'm not sure if that's the case. But you can say that about everyone, so it's not really an indictment on him.
Talking to Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian, and joins us every single Thursday here on the show. What did you learn about Drew Hill this year? That's what I want to know, because this is, you know, ever since you got the job at the Daily Memphian, it's all been good. It's all been Ja Morant, Rookie of the Year, you know, the ascension to the two seed every year. It's all been fun and games for you, you know, going to the bubble and the play-in. There was always some relevancy, and this year, unlike any other, you had the 25-game suspension for Ja off the rip. Then everything just goes to hell in a handbasket when the season starts. They start 6-18 or whatever they were, and then Ja comes back and looks great in his first game. They beat the Pelicans, and then he soon after that gets hurt, and you've been just playing out the string. What have you learned about Drew Hill at the journalist covering this Memphis Grizzlies season?
Interesting.
Oh, what a question. I didn't expect to be answering a question like this. I've been lucky since I got here because – when I got to Memphis, that was the year that Penny was bringing in the number one recruiting class. And so, obviously, I've only covered, like, some of the biggest stories in the city. And then I took over Ja's rookie year, right? So, like, everything has been gravy to this point. It does make things more challenging. It makes you have to lean on those relationships a little bit more to find stories about the people, if the product on the basketball court isn't as interesting. Like, I was really happy with the story I just did on Gigi the other day, playing the drums and his church coming up to Memphis. I thought that was, you know, that's good insight. That's good human interest angles that you're searching for in a season like this. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely more difficult when people have checked out. And that's been the case now for several months. I picked a good year to get married. I picked a good season to get married because I've had a lot of other stuff on my plate
at
the same exact time. But this is part of the challenge of the job. It's like, it's not always going to be going good. And I mean, that was something I feel like I learned from covering the Tigers because, you know, yeah, they brought in that number one recruiting class, but I mean, man, if people knew half the drama that I felt like there was behind the scenes, that never even makes it out there, like that experience was definitely a learning experience and something that you lean on now. I'm not saying there's a bunch of drama around the Grizzlies because there doesn't seem to be, but it's dealing with disappointment, and how do you write about disappointment without, you know,
writing in a way where everybody feels like you're just bashing the team all the time. So I think you got to try to find different ways and different interests and different types of angles to these things to try to keep, you know, people invested and make it worth your while to still subscribe and read about a team that may be losing all the time.
Well, you did that.
It's been tough.
You did that. You found a great story in terms of G.G. Jackson's church coming to Memphis and him getting on the drums. How did you, I'm just curious how you found out about this. Like, did you see something on social media? Did somebody tell you? Like, how did it come about that you knew this was happening?
There is a wonderful Grizzlies fan named Adrian Shavers. I'll shout him out now. I talk to him before every game. He sits down there in the lower level, so I see him all the time. And I was just talking to him, and he calls Gigi his nephew because I guess he met his dad at Summer League, Gigi's dad. And so, you know, he was just telling me that he was playing keys at church this weekend while Gigi was on the drums. And I said, what? And he said, yeah, Gigi's church came up from South Carolina. And so, you know, that's just relationships with people in the arena. And what a great story that was. I mean, I had no idea that Gigi can get on the drums. And, like, he can really play. If you go watch the videos, and I think he shared a video underneath my tweet with the story of Gigi actually playing. Super talented, been in church since he was four. His dad's a bishop
yep.
in South Carolina. I'm not as well versed in like the black church scene as other people, but I've come to learn as a result of this that is a pretty typical thing that the pastor's son plays an instrument in church. And so for Gigi, it was the drums, and he loves it. Like he said, it's the one thing he'll never be humble about, and that is that, you know, he is an excellent drummer, and he can get lost in it. He just really likes doing it. And 57 people from his dad's with the church where he grew up loaded up a bus in South Carolina, bused all the way to Memphis, did service on Friday, service on Saturday, came to the game on Saturday night, and apparently it was a very emotional moment for him sort of looking up and seeing all these people, because he said, you know, when you're raised in the church and your dad's the pastor and everybody looks up to your dad, he's not just your dad, right? He is a leader of the community. He's somebody that everybody sort of looks up to. And so in a way, it felt like I was just raised by the church in general. So it's like I'm looking up and I'm seeing 57 parents out there, right? Like 57 people that I viewed as like my parents when I was a kid coming to support me here in Memphis. And they don't see Gigi as like an NBA talent. They see Gigi as just the little kid that played the drums in church. And so I think it was a really cool moment for everybody to get to share in that. And Gigi's obviously one of the best stories on the Grizzlies this year, and 19 years old to be doing what he's doing is fantastic. But he seems like he's a young man that has his priorities in order at this stage. And you know, that's obviously good to see.
Was a great story, Drew. You've got a big day this weekend. How big a day, if you had to sum it up, would you say that May 14th is for the Grizzlies? You touched on it. You came in during John. That's 2019, and I guess it was, what, eighth worst record. You jump up to two, and you get Ja Morant, but there were prizes up there, Zion and Ja Morant. We know Zach Kleiman has said this is our, you know, this is key here. This is a key asset for him. How big is it, this draft lottery that's going to take place on May 14th for this franchise in your eyes?
Is it the 14th or the 12th?
I'm looking at it right now. It says May 14th. It could be off. Okay. Maybe whether it's 12th or 14th. Either way, same course.
Okay. Yep. I think that it's important. It's not as important as obviously a franchise altering draft lottery, like when they were landed the pick that got them Ja. But it's important in the fact that, you know, you haven't gotten over the hump yet, right? We've seen teams have these gap years, like Golden State had one. They were already a very good team before that team fell apart and they drafted James Wiseman, and they were still able to go capture a title. For Memphis, it's a little different because you do still need pieces to help you get over the hump. You do have some roster questions. The good news is you have your core set. You have your core in place, right? You've got Ja and Dez and Jaren. And right now you also have Marcus Smart, which we didn't get to see much of this year either. And so you have your core there. You still expect that, you know, if they rolled the team out next year with who they already got on the roster, they would win a lot of games. But it's these types of pieces that are supposed to put you over the hump. I think there's real questions here. And I think that the lottery is going to impact sort of directions that they could possibly go, right? Like, they have a top four pick and they really view Klingon as a starting center, then go get Klingon. But if you have the sixth or seventh pick and he's off the board, I think, you know, you're not just looking for a front court starter at that point. You're looking to try to improve your team in whatever way possible. So I think you've got to look at wings. You got to look at combo guards. I think it really opens up. So it's important. It's definitely important for them to try to figure out exactly the direction that they want to go from here.
And you're right. NBA.com's got May 12th, so I apologize. I had the wrong date.
Let's split the middle. Let's call it May 13th.
No. Okay. You go with the NBA beat writer.
Well, I've just been trying to plan my travel, so I was trying to make sure I didn't buy a flight for the wrong day there.
All right, so you're getting married this weekend.
Big
decision.
How are you feeling about everything?
Man, I feel great. The wedding planning process has been a little stressful, probably more so for her than for me. But once we got to like 2 weeks out and like everything was planned, I think everybody just felt really good about it, man. I'm just excited. I'm just, you know, weddings are great for a lot of reasons. I mean, for me, like to get to marry the person that, you know, I love so much is going to be incredible and get to make that commitment and, you know, say that you want to spend your life together with someone is obviously a big jump. It's been something I've thought about for 2 years, and for the moment to finally get here is obviously going to be great. And then also just to have so many people that I care about all in the same room. And like, we were talking about this last night, my parents got in town and we were talking about how it's amazing. And at the same time, there's like a little bit of sadness to it because this may be the last time that some of these people are all in the same place together that I care about so much, you know, because everybody's going to go their own ways. People live all over the country. So it's like, how do we take these few hours that we're all going to be together and just cherish this moment as much as we possibly can while also, you know, celebrating what a commitment it is. And so, man, I mean, I could get emotional talking about it, but it's going to be fantastic. I'm looking forward to it so much. I have so many people coming in from out of town. You know, I have a lot of friends from college. I'm not too far removed from there, and we've kept up really close. Well, they live all over the country. I mean, this is going to be the first time we've all been in the same place in 5+ years, probably. And when we split, like, we may not be in the same place again until for a long time. So,
right.
And I'm just really looking forward to it. Do you guys have any advice? What's your advice?
I'm not giving advice. I think people want to give their advice so much that you're never going to remember any of it. You just have to go through it, man. It's like a roller coaster. You know, people can tell you about what it's like, but you got to do it. You got to just get on it. You got to get on that ride. And you got to, you know, experience the adversity and the joys and all that stuff for yourself. Anything we say today, you know, I mean, it won't matter when it starts, bro.
Are you doing your own vows, Drew? Since you're a writer, was there pressure on you to write up some vows?
I did write my own vows, and we went back and forth whether or not we were going to do them privately or if we were going to do them in front of everyone. And I think, truthfully, my fiance felt a little bit of pressure because she figured that the vows that I write will be good.
Yes, award-winning.
Right.
I'm happy with them. I think they're good. I've already finished them off last night. Been working on them for a minute, but so we went back and forth. I think we're going to do them in front of everybody. But we couldn't decide on that for the longest time. But yeah, I wrote them myself.
The problem with offering advice is that it just sort of it presumes as if the person offering it is some sort of expert in the field, right? Nobody's going to be an expert in Drew and Jessica's marriage, right? That's something that is that's an entity completely different than the one that I know or that Jason knows or that Brad knows or that anybody that's offering you advice would know. You guys are two totally different people, and you have completely different thoughts than we may have. What I will say you will probably find is that some days you're gonna, and this is something for me that I had to learn. Like, it's just not worth. It's just not worth, like, every single little battle or disagreement. It's just not worth making a big dust up over. That's what I found. You know, again, that's not advice, because I can't give you advice. Like, I don't have this stuff figured out, bro. Like, it's not at all. But I think what you will run into is that you'll eventually say, is this worth, like, making this a big of a deal? And hopefully she will feel the same way. And so that way you guys avoid big flame out arguments. That would be the idea.
You know the two things that we talk about all the time is, like, so much is to be made about equal give and take, 50-50. And that's just not the case, right? Like, that's not the case in almost any relationship that exists anywhere. Forget marriages. Sometimes it's going to be 70-30. Sometimes it's going to be 100-0. Sometimes it's going to be 50-50. And the key there is to just find a way to balance each other out. Like, that's that, you know, when she has it rough, I got to pick it up. When I have it rough, she's the one that's got to step up. And, like, I think we found a very good balance there. That gave me a lot of confidence when I decided that I was going to propose, because that's always been the case with us. And, like, that's obviously a really good feeling. And the other thing, too, was just, like, yeah, when we talk about these, like, whatever arguments you may have, whatever disagreements that you may have, like, our golden rule is that you don't walk away from the argument, at least until you can find yourself in a better place for both people, right? Like, even if you still disagree, you have to try to find a way to understand the other person. And until we reach that understanding, we try not to step away from it. And so, like, those two things are, like, so big for us. Now, I'm not saying that's the case for every relationship, same as you. Like, who am I to give advice? But yeah, I think I think you put it really well, John. I think that's pretty important. Sometimes you have to understand where the other person is coming from, and that's a big part of why I decided to do this, like, why I wanted to propose. And it's just because I feel like there's nobody else that really makes me a better person and completes me and puts me, you know, first and pushes me to my goals than her. So, yeah, man, I'm just so excited. I'm just looking forward to it.
Jason, would you like to offer some advice from sort of your
don't
side?
Have that. Drew, I would like, though, the transcript from your vows. If
okay,
you've got,
he wants
if you've
the
got,
transcript.
If you're gonna, if we can publish those at the Daily Memphian, because I know they will be great. I know they will be award winning.
Jason
what,
that's is
what,
a subscriber.
I would like to read those.
This
words
is coming
later
from a subscriber's
yes
perspective.
Yeah. $13.99 a month. I'd like that to be a part of my subscription.
Every good story comes full circle, right? So will the vows. You know, it's
yes
funny. I told her, I was like, the other thing we did was we created, like, our wedding program is a newspaper. It's like a newspaper.
Oh, that's cool.
And so she had me write a story. It was like, write a story about our story in there. Now, it was super short, like 350 words or whatever. but I wrote the story. And so then when I did the vows, I like find myself almost writing, not like a Grizzlies article, but like trying to write in summation to some, I'm like, no, you know what? This is not what this is about. I gotta throw this format out the window.
I
gotta do my own.
Don't lead it off with a fast break like Jeff Calkins, okay? Don't lead off your vows with a fast break. You know what I mean? Keep that out of it.
Good. There's no basketball. There will be no basketball involved in the vows. So.
All right, well,
congratulations, bro.
Good stuff, man. We're all happy for you, man. Should be a great weekend. Thanks, Drew.
Congrats, brother. Thank you.
Yep, thanks, guys.
Yep. He is Drew Hill, covers the Grizzlies for the Daily Memphian. Getting hitched this weekend. Good for him. Yeah, I mean, your advice is if you ever have a disagreement with your wife, you just put it out there publicly on the radio.
I think Drew's got it licked already. Sounds like he's ready to lose, and that's what we do as men in marriage.
We lose,
okay? And that part about her stepping up when you're down, forget about it. You're going to be doing most of the stepping up, all right? You're going to have to pick yourself up to pick her up. So don't be – that lovely part he said about her picking him up when he's down? Forget about it.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.